Welcome to the Laney Road Baptist Church Podcast. We're located at 5998 Laney Road in Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. Our office number is 904-924-8240. For more information, you can check out our website at laneyroadbaptistchurch.org. And now, stand by for the message.
Well, tonight I want to talk to you about 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 14. You guys know that verse, right? Not Corinthians, 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You guys know the verse. I want to talk to you about where that verse came from. So we're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and when I say 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I mean 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We're going to be all up in there. It's a long chapter, and we're going to have a bunch of it. Tonight I printed out my stuff like I normally do, and it's nothing but scriptures, and it's three solid pages. So be with me. Lord, be with me. But I want you to see, where do we get this scripture that everybody quotes? There's a thing going on right now. You may have seen the advertisement of The Return. TheReturn.org. Saturday, September the 26th. People from all over our nation, some prominent people and some names that nobody knows, but folks, they're calling for all of us to come together and to return to faith in God as a nation. And they're using, of course, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Where does that promise of God come from? I'm glad you ask. We're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We'll start in verse 12 for the sake of time, and we'll start there. This is Solomon's prayer. Now, you remember Solomon? He is David's son. David wanted to build a house unto the Lord. He had a great desire, and God said, I'm so grateful that your heart is in that way, but you shall not be allowed to do it. So I'm going to let one of your sons that comes from your loins be the one to build the house. So David said, if I can't build the house, I'm going to give him a bunch of supplies for the house. So David stocked up a bunch of materials for the building of the house of the Lord. Solomon became the replacement, the son that would be the one that God would use to build the house of God. And listen, I'm going to share this with you quickly because I got to move fast as I loosen this a little bit. I want you to know that Solomon never built the house of God out of some specific calling that he felt was put upon him. He built the house of God in obedience and in completion to the promise that was made to his father David. Hold on for a second. If you said, well, Brother Buddy, my mama and my grandmama and my great-granddaddy and my great-grandpappy, and they had a calling on their life and they had a vision for their family, I just wish I felt like, listen to me, if you can't follow God out of a calling on your own life, reach back and grab a... Amen. Take a hold of the promise that God gave to your mama, your daddy, or your granddaddy, and walk in that and say, I want to live according to what they saw. My daddy did that to me. My daddy walked me around. I know, I'm going to get there in a minute. Y'all ain't got to be nowhere, Hope. Listen, my daddy said, son, I want to talk to you. And he told me some stuff, and I'm not going to go through everything he said, but then my dad laid some stuff down for me before he passed. And he shared some stuff with me about what he felt in his heart, what he had seen in his vision, and what God had given him. And he put that in me. And I'm going to just tell you, a lot of the things that God has happened in ministry for the last 20 years for me has been a fulfillment of what God had shown him.
Amen.
Okay? I ain't got to have a mountaintop experience. I ain't got to have a cloud come into the tabernacle. Now, I ain't got to have a rock to cry out. All I need to know is that it's the will of God. And Solomon moved, and if I had time to show you, I'd tell you, you can read these chapters. They're wonderful reading. And you'll see where Solomon was acknowledging, this is what you promised my father. This is what you told my dad would happen, and I've just done this according to your word and your promise to him. And this is where I want to go. Chapter number 6, verse number 12. Y'all quit interrupting me. Here we go. Solomon's prayer. He's built the temple. He's furnished the temple. He brought in all the things that his father had laid aside. He used them in the building. He brought all the instruments, all the utensils that would be used. He covered everything in gold and brass. You know, they said that they couldn't even measure the amount of brass that was used. It was just, he lavished. He did it to the nth degree. As good as he could, he built the temple of the Lord. And after it had been finished building, he done what we did at Donnie's house the other day, a prayer of dedication over the house of God. Verse number 12, he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. This is Solomon the king. This isn't a preacher. This is Solomon the king. He spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high, set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood. He wanted everybody to be able to hear him. And he knelt down upon his knees. He wanted everybody to be able to see him. Before all the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he prayed a prayer publicly. Now listen to me, public prayers are good. Brother David told us tonight as we went to our prayer meeting, public prayers are good. He said, but private prayers are just as important. In fact, you ain't got a right to pray a public prayer if you don't pray a private prayer. And that's all the P's I can put out for you right now. So Solomon spreads his hands toward God, towards heaven, in front of everybody, on this scaffold, lifted up high, and he said, "Oh, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts." Notice what the servants need to do. Walk before the Lord with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, I told you about that, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thy hand, as it is this day. He says, what we see here today, what got built, is what you told my daddy to do. It's what you, your vision you gave my father and told him that I would fulfill it. Verse 16, now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Solomon says, you fulfilled the building of the temple. Now fulfill the promise that you made that there'll always be a man, a descendant of David, that's going to sit on the throne of David. Verse number 17, as long as we walk following you. Verse 17, now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified. Remember, Solomon talking to the Lord. Let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. God, what you promised David, let it be verified right now today. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? It's a question. Behold, heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain thee. God's so big, he lives in the universe. How can we build a house for God? He said, the heavens and the heavens of heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? God can't live inside of a little building. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant. He said, listen to what I'm praying to you, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name here, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. We want to anoint this place. This place has been the place that's dedicated unto God, and we want God's blessings on this place. We want this place to be a testimony for the Lord, not a testimony against the Lord. Amen. Amen. Same thing true about this place. Amen. Amen. Verse 21. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of the people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. People are going to come into this place, and they're going to come fall down at the altar, and they're going to pray and ask you for forgiveness and other things. Hear from heaven and answer their prayer in this place. That's what he's saying. Verse 22, if a man sin against his neighbor and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. God, if we have a problem, there's a division in the midst of the congregation, and God, we bring it before you to settle it, and in the midst of the house of God, hear from heaven and judge righteousness over the righteous and judgment over the wicked. Do it in this house. Verse 24, and if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall return, Israel may sin and turn away from God, but then if they shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, if they come back to church and ask them forgiveness, then, 25, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven, this is still Solomon talking, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, if their heart comes back to God in the church and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them with not bringing in rain, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel. And when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance, because they repented in the house of God. Verse 28, if there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew or locust or caterpillars, if thy enemies, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, sickness, whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven, thou dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. Give every man according to the truth of his repentance in his heart, because you know what's in the heart. For thou only knowest, look at this in parentheses, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men.
Amen.
Verse 31. That they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. 32, moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, the foreigner coming in, but is come from a far country for thy great namesake and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, even a stranger, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house, which I have built, is called by thy name. This is the house of God. And in the house of God, when we call upon the name of God, God, you'll hear and you'll answer so that all the world will know. That's what he's saying. 34, if thy people go out to war against their enemies. Solomon was a wise man. Remember, he's covering all of his bases. That's why this is so long. Bear with me. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or even near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land, they second guess, they think back in the land whither they are carried captive, and they turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and we have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, and they pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Some people don't believe in organized religion. They don't think you got to go to church. Solomon wasn't one of those. He said, the house of God. Every time they pray toward the house, or they come into the house, they look toward the house. They give their repentance with their hearts turned toward the house. Verse number 39. Then God, hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Look at the boldness of the man that God has chosen to be king over Israel, to stand and say, Lord, I require of you, I ask you to open your ears and open your eyes to the people that is here amongst you, and the prayer request that I am sending up on behalf of the folks in this place that we have built for you. Now therefore, he says, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Remember how you promised David. Remember what you told my father, and my father taught me. And we've built the house, and we've done all you've asked, and we've walked after you. And if we turn away, God, and then we turn back to you, and we come into this house which we have established, and we have consecrated unto you, and we call out to you, you'll hear from heaven. Honor your word. Yeah. And forgive us our sins and restore us.
Thank you, Lord.
That was what Solomon prayed. That's what Solomon prayed. Verse 11 in chapter 7. If you'll skip to chapter 7, start in verse 11. Brother Gary, you got that? Yeah, this is for sake of time. I'd like to have read you the whole thing, but here we go. Verse 11. I just read to you Solomon's prayer to God, and I want you to hear what the Lord's response is. It starts down a couple verses. Let me back up to verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. He did the best he could. He gave the best he had, and he went out and purchased what he didn't have so that he could make the house of the Lord prosperously effected. Verse 12, and the Lord, this is where we go, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said unto him, I heard thy prayer.
Amen.
Son, just to have God say, hey, I heard your prayer.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
That's what he did. He said, Solomon, I heard.
He does.
He does hear. He said, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place, this house you built, to myself for a house of sacrifice. I believe you built it with a heart righteous before God. I believe you built it with the correct intentions to honor the Lord. And then you asked me to fill this house and to honor everyone that would honor that house and would honor me in this house. And I've heard your prayer. I have heard your prayer. and I have chosen this place for myself for a house of sacrifice. You know what sacrifice is needed for? For whenever you repent. Amen. 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 He said, I've chosen this house to be a place of sacrifice. Listen to me. When you stumble and fall, I've had folks say, Brother Buddy, I just couldn't come back. I felt like I was unworthy to be in church. Man, when you messed up, you know where you need to go? Yeah. Oh, son. When you've fallen and broken something, you need to go to the hospital. When you stumbled spiritually and broken something, you need to come to the house of God. To the emergency room and get it repaired. I got to go on. Verse 13. This is what God says. These are the verses that everybody goes to. They go to these verses. But there's a reason that God is responding. That God didn't just throw this out as an open promise. He's responding to Solomon's prayer after Solomon followed the directions of his father David and all the people worshiped. If you want to read chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you'll see something. These people were worshiping God to such an extent that the cloud and the glory of the Lord filled the temple so thick and so heavy, the priest could not even minister. Shoo! Because when the big preacher shows up, the little preacher got to sit down.
Amen.
And so if you'd have just read all that, you'd know why I'm so excited. So in verse 13, God says, he's talking to Solomon, he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain. Well, that's the same thing Solomon asked him in the last chapter. Lord, if you punish the people because of their sin by holding back the rain, and then they cry out to you, how about making sure you sin? He said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land. That's the same thing Solomon said in the last chapter. You read it, you'll see it. Or if I send pestilence among my people. If they happen to turn and I happen to send judgment on their land. If they turn their hearts away from me and I allow things to come in that bring them pain and suffering, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's where that verse comes from. They sinned, they turned away. But they turned back in forgiveness and sought the Lord in the house of the Lord. Listen to me carefully. You can't just go out and arbitrarily ask God to send His blessings. There needs to be some repentance by the people of God in the house of God. Man, He says if we'll do that, if we, His people, will do that, then He will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Verse 15. Remember the request at the end of chapter number 6? He told God, he said, man, God, keep your eyes open and your ears open. Turn toward. God says in verse 15 of chapter 7, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And don't forget in chapter 6, Solomon said, I know you know every man's heart. You're not just listening to the prayers from his lips. You hear the prayer from his heart. Verse 16, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house. Which house? Talking specifically about the temple that Solomon built. Talking prophetically about the house that Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're talking about the dedicated, consecrated, appointed places of worship. Anointed. There should be a sacredness. Let me stop for a minute. Remind me where I'm at. Y'all keep my place. There ought to be a sacredness about the place that we come to worship. Man, this is not a gymnasium. Amen. This ain't a theater. This is the house of the living God. Dedicated solely unto the purpose of worship. I didn't understand it back then, but now I'm looking back. You know, they say 2020 vision. When we were applying for the permits to build this building, and we went to the city and said, here's what we want to do. Here's the size of it. Will you look at this and tell us what we need to change before we ever try to apply for permits? We'd like to do everything that you need us to do now before we ever make you mad. And they sat down with my right hand to the Lord. All of the dignity, all the big guys, big wigs down at the building department set up an appointment to meet with us. We took our contractor, our architect, we took some of our guys, and we sat around a table. We was with the fire marshal, the head building guy, and several other people. We sat and they went over the drawings, every page. And they said, well, you can't do it like this, you need to do that. So whatever they wrote down, I said, can you change that? And he said, yeah, we can change that. So change it. So we was making those changes. The city was telling us, you do this and it'll fly right through. And I was going like, this is great. They come to the capacity, the seating capacity of the building. And he said, what kind of seats are you going to have? I said, pews. He said, if you put removable chairs in there, he said, it could come under another, I don't know what the name, not qualification, but another heading, another word, title, so it wouldn't be like a sanctuary. He said, you wouldn't have to call it a sanctuary. It could be an auditorium, and therefore you might get around some of the issues that cost you extra money. And I sat there, I was going, I was trying my best. I wanted to save money, believe me. I wanted to save money we didn't yet have yet. I wanted to save it. And I said, no, sir. I said, I don't think that would be right. I said, it is a sanctuary. Amen. I said, and we want to put pews in it because we want it to stand out and say that this is where you come to worship God. Amen. This ain't where you come to go skating. Amen. Okay, that's what we want to do. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, sir, I'm sure. And so that's what they did. And I'll never forget that. And I didn't know what I was really doing back then, to be honest with you. I didn't understand it. But we were calling this place a place of worship. It should be a solemn assembling place. This place ought to have some awe when you come into it. Amen. This place ought to have some respect for the fact this is where God said, I'll meet with you. Amen. I could go on about that, but that's not what I'm trying to preach tonight. Where did I leave off? 16? 16, 17. Okay, there we go. He says, let me read 16 because I forgot. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. That means from now on, evermore, all the same all the time. Verse 17, and as for thee, for you, Solomon, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my governments and my judgments, I should say, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Remember, last chapter, Solomon asked God, fulfill this. Fulfill what you promised David. Fulfill this day. And God said, I will, but only if you walk in the way that I lead you and guide you, just like your father did. Amen. Verse 19, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land. He's talking about the people of Israel. I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house. I'll pull them out of this house too, which I have sanctified for my name. And will I cast this house that I've sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Let me read that to you again, because I think you need to get this, and I might have messed it up. Verse 20. Two things. Then I will, if you mess up and you go after other gods, I'm going to pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I've given them. And then he says, see the semicolon there? And then you go, and this house, talking about this tabernacle that you built, this worship facility, which I have sanctified for my name. I put my name on it. will I cast out of my sight. I'll turn my back on it, son. And I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. I bring such reproach on the house that once held my name that somebody, when they drive by, they'll go like, you know, that used to be a wonderful church. Now it's just an old barroom and shag place where people meet and get drunk and high. And that's what he said. It used to be a place that honored God. Now it's a place of dishonor. Verse 21, and this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? I wonder why God destroyed that church. Why God took away that ministry? And it shall be answered. This would be the answer. Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. There's a whole lot more that could be said tonight. What I wanted to do, the reason I gave you so much scripture, because I looked at it and I said, I can't preach that any better than it's written.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen? I can't do any better than what God's already done. Yeah. He laid it out. Solomon said, here it is. We built it. We blessed it. We've adorned it. We put your name on it. If you read the top of chapter 7, we gave all these sacrifices. Man, Solomon gave up a bunch of animals. There were so many animals they had to have another altar built to sacrifice and to hold the blood that was coming out of the bulls. And so they were just overflowing the place with offerings and sacrifices. The people were singing and playing trumpets, and they were bringing the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant in. And they placed it in the Holy of Holies, and all the priests were doing their stuff, man, and the Spirit of God was there, and it was a hallelujah time. Hallelujah time. Oh, it was such a wonderful time. The Spirit of God was there, and it was so prevalent. Oh, how we'd like to go back to those days. We talked about that a couple days ago. How we'd like to go back to those days. When you walked in, and the Spirit of God was just thick, man. He was thick. He was thick in there, man. It was his house, and he was home. Woo, son. And he put his name on it. And he says, hey, I've done this because of the obedience. The following of the statutes, you completed what I've asked you to do, and I look from heaven and I answer your prayers and I give you all the blessings and the anointings. But if you walk away, if you choose to despise my commandments, if you choose to disdain my name, and you do not turn back to me, I'll take the very same house that was a testimony of the greatness of God, and I will cause it to be a point of contention for everybody that comes by, and they'll wag their head and say, oh, I wonder what happened there. Oh, remember that preacher? Oh, remember those people that went there? They were so holy and high, and they talked about how wonderful that church was. Now look at it. It's overgrown and it's rusted down, and they have beer parties there. Look! Look at what is now testifying of. How did that happen? If you was to drive around Jacksonville today, you would find some monuments to that very testimony.
Amen.
What happened to that preacher? What happened to that choir? What happened to those people? What happened to that ministry? When we walk away from God, the same God that looks down from heaven and blesses us when we're walking according to His will has promised us that He will be the one that will bring judgment upon His people. They quote to you 7:14 all the time. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. Yeah, amen. Hear their prayers, heal the land. They quote that all the time, and that's true. But there's a caveat to that. There's conditions.
Amen. Right. No excuse.
Solomon said, Lord, Lord, please do these things. Because he knew, and what you know, you're responsible to keep. Before you go home tonight, I want you to hear this. He that knoweth to do good. Y'all know that verse?
Oh, yeah.
He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him. What is that talking about? I know we spill that out a lot, and we may be thinking that folks are trying to tell us the twist of the interpretation of that verse is that somehow that somebody is doing wickedly. But I'm going to tell you that the Bible also says that anything that is not of faith is sin.
Yeah, that's right.
And any time that you know what you're supposed to do rightly and you don't do it,
you're sinning.
Amen.
That's right.
You hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. You know that's true for you, right? It's true for you. It's true for me. It's true for every one of us drawing the oxygen off this planet tonight. Every single one of us. When we know what God has required of us. And God reminded Solomon, say, son, hey, remember what you asked for? I know who you are. I know who your daddy was. I know what you've been taught, and I know the promises made, and I know I heard your prayers. I heard what you was trying to hold me to. And the nation on Saturday morning, 9 a.m., is going to be led by a group of people that are going to Washington, D.C., next to the Washington Monument, and are going to start to try to bring about a return to worship the Lord truly. And I pray that this is the time. I'm all for it. But as they go there, what they cannot leave out is that we, as the people of God, have turned our backs on God.
Amen.
And we must come back.
Right.
Acknowledging that we have walked away from him and have defamed his house in the sight of all the world.
Yeah.
And until we, from our hearts, turn ourselves back to him wholeheartedly and represent the house of God the way it's supposed to be represented, he will not hear. He will not roll back the judgment until our repentance is complete. Here's what I'm going to give you on leaving. I know you got to go home sometime. As you go out those doors, please do not be like the Pharisees who say to themselves, I have completed my task. I have gone into the house of the Lord. I may now go live my life. You leave out the door and all of a sudden the switch is flipped and the person that we saw inside the house is not the same person that walks the streets outside the house.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And then you want to cry out and say, oh Lord, heal our land. God says, I don't hear that prayer. I'm not going to respond to that one because I know your heart. You're wicked.
Yeah.
Walking in disbelief and trying to play the game of hypocrite. God knows you and smell you a mile away.
Amen.
I've been there, done that. And the only way out that has a good result is repentance before the Lord. Confession and repentance. You tell God, I have sinned. Please forgive me from your heart.
Amen.
That's right.
Then your prayers will be heard by him. I love this. Man, this was ringing my bell. Unless you couldn't tell that. This was ringing my bell. Amen.
That's the Lord.
We're in a time when we need to return to the Lord. In fact, I used part of this, and you'll see it in the bulletin Sunday morning, because we do need to come back to the Lord. He's soon to return. We need to return to him before he returns to us.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good one right there. We need to return to him before he returns to get us. We need to be in the place. He says, when I come back, will I find faith
yeah.
in the earth? What are we going to find? Are we going to find empty pews and empty hearts and a bunch of blown up, hot air filled hypocrites?
Dead man.
Shoo! We need to come back to God. There does need to be a return. And it needs to start with us. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I just feel like I could go on, but I think, Lord, you have already done the work. So tonight, Lord, I just say thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promise. I thank you for your promise that you made to David, that you made to Israel, that you made to Solomon, that you made to Israel. I thank you for the promise that you made to the thief on the cross. I thank you for the promises you made to Peter, who denied you. I want to thank you, Lord, that you made promises to me in your New Testament. And God, you have made promises to me personally in my prayer time. And God, you have said, if I will return and I will repent and I will call upon the name of God, that you will hear and you will answer and you will heal our land. You'll forgive our sin and you'll make the house of God a place of respect and honor and glory, instead of a place of disdain. Yeah. Lord, we don't want people in the neighborhood to pass by and wag their head and say, ah, bunch of hypocrites. We don't want them to say that's where the Spirit of God used to be, and now it's just an empty shell. God, help us to carry the tradition down to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, till you come and receive us and take us home, that we hold up the bloodstained banner, that we preach the truth of the gospel, that we seek to walk according to all of your commandments. And Lord, when we sin, because every man does, when we sin, God, may we come back to you with our hearts poured out on these old-fashioned altars that we refused to leave out of this sanctuary. We said we won't have church without altars. So we put altars in here. Lord, please help us to use these altars. Lord, stop us from sitting in our pews thinking that that's a place for sinners to go, as if we are not. Remind us that is the place where we find our atonement. That is the place where we find reconciliation with the holy God. Let us honor the house of God that carries the name of God when it's filled with the people of God who are walking according to the will of God. In the name of Jesus, I give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Folks, let me remind you, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, we have a work day. We'd love to see you here as we work on that fellowship hall and get it ready. 8 o'clock, Saturday morning. May God bless you.
Hello, Pastor Buddy here. Thank you for joining us today for our worship service. It is my prayer that you have heard from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through something that was sung or preached or said. If God has touched you, then I would urge you that you surrender to Him today without delay. If you've made a decision to trust Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you have chosen to surrender to Him more fully in His Lordship, then I would urge you to let us know by giving us a call at 904-924-8240, or you can email me at pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, at lrbcjax.org. Until next time, may God be richly blessing you.